Blog Talk Radio.
Are you driven by a passion to discover your divine destiny, ready to discover your purpose and fulfill your God-given potential? You can at Church on the Mall, the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Sundays at 9 a.m. Rediscover the kingdom and discover your purpose, identity, and divine destiny. For more information, call 267-357-9816. The kingdom of God is now eternal, and it's your time. Don't miss your moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God will supply your needs. See you at Church on the Mall this Sunday at 9 a.m. The Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, Cheltenham Avenue and Washington Lane. It's your time for change. For more information, call 267-357-9816.
This is Dr. Lynn Robinson, and I approve this message.
This message paid for by the faithful supporters of Kingdom Vision Ministries International, the Kingdom Church on the Mall. Live the kingdom-driven life now.
Good morning. Welcome to the radio broadcast. We'll be with you in just a few moments. Thank you for being here. God bless you. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Stay tuned, and we will be right back. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Dr. Leonard Robinson, and thank you for being here. Hold on. Again, good morning. I'm your host and Bible teacher, Dr. Leonard Robinson, and we're about to go into a session in the Kingdom Church at Cheltenham Mall, and so I just want to encourage you to hold on. We'll be right back with you in just a few moments. Thank you for your patience.
Verse 30, it says this. So this is Daniel chapter 4, verse 30. This is what Nebuchadnezzar said right after the warning. Daniel gave Nebuchadnezzar the warning from the Most High to help. And this is what Nebuchadnezzar said. Well, let me make sure. Okay. But we're going to start off with verse 30, though. It says, the king spake and said, is not, okay, this is what I'm saying. So this is Nebuchadnezzar speaking. He said, is not this great Babylon, that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty, while the very word within his mouth. Daddy said, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. She said, no, you didn't. The kingdom is departed from thee. Can God do that? Why? I mean, how? Like, how can he do something like that? Because he is the Most High. He is the very first king that ever existed before any other king. And he will be the very last king that will continue to exist. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion endures through all generations. He could do that. He's the supreme king that rules even right now in the kingdom of men. Right? So even the kingdom that was given to Nebuchadnezzar, it was taken away from him according to this text because of Nebuchadnezzar's response and his choice in his heart. Recognizing what let me say it like this, he wasn't recognizing, but he was saying to himself that I did this. I build this kingdom. I build this house for my kingdom, for my authority. This is my majesty, my power. And Daddy said, look, tripping. You forgot. You forgot who ruled over you. You forgot who gave you authority. You forgot who pushed you in this position in the first place. He forgot. So he messed up. So everything that was said from out of that warning actually came upon Nebuchadnezzar. And out of everything that he went through, let's skip down to verse 34. Out of everything that Nebuchadnezzar went through that season that Daddy set up, let me say. And in verse 34 it says, And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me.
Yes, yes, yes.
I got to pause right here, because right here, when I first read that, I'm like, wow. Did you know that our understanding is in the position of recognizing who is over us? Knowing that he's the one who gave us authority. Knowing that he's the one who is the supreme king, and he rules over the kingdom of men. He is. Daddy is. Right? So when I'm thinking about understanding, I'm thinking about the understanding of Adam and Eve before they sinned. The understanding that they had. The understanding that they knew that they had a king. And that they was placed in this earth through kingdom business. To advance heaven in this earth.
Hallelujah.
To advance the kingdom of God in this earth. They had that understanding. I believe that this was the same understanding that returned to Nebuchadnezzar after the situation that he went through. It was that understanding of recognizing that Daddy is the king, the supreme king over all creation. And he is the one, as he wills, to give kingdom, dominion, and authority to us.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to read on. And I bless the Most High. So Nebuchadnezzar, who was a Gentile, he wasn't a Jew, he was a Gentile.
Yep.
Nebuchadnezzar blessed the Most High. He said, and I bless the Most High, and I praise and honor him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation.
Yeah.
Who said that? Who else said that same thing that Nebuchadnezzar said? David.
Hallelujah.
David said the same thing. So both David and Nebuchadnezzar recognized the supreme king and his kingdom. They had wisdom. They feared the Lord. It was a reverential fear.
Yeah.
They wasn't afraid, but they feared the Almighty God, the supreme king. You see that? That's wisdom. That's wisdom. That's wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Come on, man.
Every situation that you go through, remind yourself that you need to continue to walk according to the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah.
God has given us wisdom, and this wisdom is the beginning. Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of this wisdom.
Yeah.
And this wisdom that God has given us, as we walk according to his wisdom, we need not to worry about anything.
Yeah.
Are we going to lose our job? Are we not going to get a house payment paid for? Our car insurance, all these things. I'm not talking about prosperity. I'm talking about us recognize who is Lord.
Yeah.
I'm talking about us recognize who's the supreme king. I'm talking about us recognize who supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory as long as we walk according to this wisdom.
Yeah.
The wisdom of the world is, man, you better step on somebody else so you can get on the top. Man, if somebody's above you, you better not, you know, you got to do some sneaky stuff to try to keep your job. I'm telling you, I was at the job and I was in a dilemma. And the dilemma's still going on, you know, but Daddy set it up out of his governing authority because he's doing something to me. He's doing something to my heart. He's changed me from the inside out. Spots that I didn't even know that was there. He's like, all right, I'm going to take care of that. Same thing with all of us. Any situation, whatever season that you're about to come into, or whatever season that you're in right now, he's using that season to transform you from the inside out. But we had to participate.
Yes, sir.
We got to participate. How do we participate? Walk according to his wisdom. Recognizing who rule and reign in every situation.
Come on. Yeah.
Every situation. Every season. Recognize that it's not the devil that did this. Yeah, I know the enemy tempts and all of that. Yeah, I know. But even in the midst of his temptation, God, out of his infinite wisdom, he's able to turn things around. Use everything for your good being.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's continue to walk according to God's wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I done? Amen. I think I'm done. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless him. Hallelujah. Bless him. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
The fear of the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Was that good this morning? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, I'm excited about who we have in the house. Glory to God. Look at all of you. Amen. Amen. You know, one of the beautiful things about the revelation of the kingdom is everybody's a minister. Hallelujah. Amen. That blesses me. It is like you finally get that we're all priests unto the Most High God. That we're the sons and daughters of God. That we're citizens of the kingdom and we're ambassadors. And God can use any one of us to speak to one another truths that so impact our lives that our lives change forever. That thing messes man. That's the way it's supposed to be. There's a cult of Christianity. This morning, I was here earlier this morning, we called it the absurdity of Christianity. But I want to tell you something. There's a cult of Christianity. A cult. You can't hear from anybody unless they're your man of God. You can't hear from anybody unless they're your bishop, unless they're your pastor. And so I have a man of God. You know, people talk that way, right? I don't need you to tell me anything. I've got a man of God. They don't even call him man of God. I got a man of God. God has given me the man of God. That's my spiritual father. And so what has happened is there's been a cult of Christianity that has been created where people can't receive from one another no matter how rich the word has been deposited in the person that God wants to bless you with. Brother C. Alfred, bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Well, give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hang around long enough, your turn's coming. Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Won't you stand to your feet and greet one another? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you, man. Amen.
Hi, family. been in my spirit for a couple of days, okay? This song is for all that I need is to hear. I'm going to start it off with a second. All that I need is your kingdom. All that I need is my King. All that I need is your righteousness. Then I'll have everything. Sing yes. All that I need is your kingdom. All that I need. My King.
Yes, yes, yes.
All that I need is your righteousness. Then I'll have everything.
Oh, wait, no.
You said that I should not worry. You should not fret. You said that I concerned about my daily bread. You said that I should not worry. We should not fret. You said that I should not be concerned about my daily bread. All that I need is your kingdom. All that I need is my King.
Yes, sir.
All that I need is your righteousness. Then I'll have everything.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You said not to be who you're clothing. Never to fold his own thing, but to seek first the kingdom of God and do what you say. All that I need is your kingdom. All that I need is my King. All that I need is your righteousness. Then I'll have everything. Then the last part it says, let your kingdom come. Then y'all supposed to repeat. Let your will. Okay. Let your will be done. We've been cooking, y'all. Let us see on earth. I lost my tune. Then
let us see on earth
the glory of your Son. Let your kingdom come.
Let your kingdom come.
Let your will be done.
Let your will be done.
Let us see on earth.
Let us see on earth.
The glory of your Son.
Glory of your Son.
All that I need is your kingdom.
All that I
need is my King.
All that I need is your righteousness.
Then I'll have everything. Then I'll have everything. Then I'll have everything.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Woo! She said, Pastor, can I do this? And I was looking at the at how time is moving. I said, you know, you might not be able to get to it. She had that look on her face. Like, do you know God or what? Amen. The word of God says one will have a word, another will have a what? A psalm. Amen. So you got to recognize when that unfolds. Hallelujah. See, who wrote that song? We just copied the words off the video. We got to find that whole song so we can really get into the melody of it and everything. But I thought you did wonderful. Thank you so much. Praise God. Let's give God praise for God using her. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's a metal one down that end. And we got two right here. Praise God. Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's good. That's good. What is the next? What does the next lyric say? Mm-hmm. Go ahead, be honest. Oh, that's good stuff. All right, so then the question was, why does the lyric in the song say we do not pray? The answer is in the lyric before. It says, if you're going to worry, why pray? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can tell them lyricists be hanging around, boy. Amen. Are you ready for the word this morning? We're talking about kingdom marriages. What is a kingdom marriage? What does marriage look like in the kingdom of God? Now, I ain't talking about what it look like in heaven. I'm talking about what it functions like in the earth. What does that marriage look like? Amen? Hallelujah. Well, let's play some cards. You know, I was in high school, and we were supposed to be in class, and we was in the, and what do they call those things? The fire tower? In the fire escape? And I mean, you know, it would be like third or fourth period. It was the class you didn't want to go to anyway. You understand? And our study hall, and yeah, Vanessa was there. She's probably a few feet away from me. Didn't know who she was then. Praise God. But, you know, we'd be in study hall, or we would be there in the fire tower, and we'd be playing cards. Anybody remember 21? What is that thing called? Blackjack. I couldn't remember. You know, we'd be there playing blackjack. Or you know, hit me kind of thing. Or maybe they was there playing pinochle. You know, and I used to hate pinochle because I hated the object of the game. And that was, as I understood pinochle, if you lost, what would happen? You ain't hitting me. I'm sorry. So that would bother me, you know. That's nuts. Okay, well, it was nuts. If you lost the game, you'll get hit. And what I couldn't understand was that my friends would sit around all day. They was either playing knucks or they was playing pinochle. Oh, with pinochle is rub your head, wasn't it? Yeah. So rub your head. I remember one of Bill Cosby's episodes where him, his dad, and two other people, you know, they try to give each other cues as to what was on the card. You know, the idea was well, if you saw four birds and the other one's supposed to pick up what the opposite one had in their hand because they were trying to figure out what card to play next. You say, right about now, you say, well, where are you going with this? We playing cards or what? Nope. There's a bus outside. We all going to the casino. No. now, well, I got to tell you this. I enjoy going to the casino. It hasn't been in a long time, but I don't go to gamble. Look at y'all faces. Y'all are, oh, I knew Pastor was a sinner. No, I like going to the casino and going to the all-you-can-eat seafood buffet, glory to God. I mean, I'll be eating crabs for 2 hours. I can see him now, got the video camera on me, saying that this brother got to go. He only paid $19. He acts like he done bought the restaurant. So I like going to the casino. So, yeah. So, if I would talk about a casino trip, I ain't talking about y'all. I'm just going to get some seafood. So don't go into a state of shock. Yeah. But have you seen the what do they call magicians? Magicians say, pick any card, right? We're going to do this little exercise real quick. Now, don't expect me to do card tricks. I don't know how. So I'm not going to set you up so I can pull the ace out behind your ear, you know, or go in your pocket and pull out the card that you picked out. But pick any card. And pick another one. And pick another. And pick one more. Pick a card. Pick another one. And another one. And pick one more. Let me see who else. Here you go. Pick a card.
Oh, that's funny.
Pick another one. Pick another one. Anyone. I ain't trying to tell you which ones to pick. One more. All right. Let me see. Who else? Oh, yeah, yeah. This is going to work real good over here. Praise God. Pick a card. And another one. And another one. And one more. It is interesting, but the concept of life is like a card game. The interesting part is, in this game, you can't turn your cards in. I want you to understand what I'm saying here. All right? Who picked the card? Who picked them? All I did was gave them an invitation.
That's it.
But they picked their own cards. Now, whatever's on the other side of the card is really a result of what they picked. But if you notice, I didn't give them an opportunity to pick the cards with the cards face up. Everyone had to pick the cards face down. That means when they picked, they didn't know what they were picking. But the reality is that when they picked it, the choice was still theirs. Are you getting this? And you are unable to turn the cards back in. You ever look at your husband or your wife and you said, man, I wish I could turn this back in? Are you hearing me? Now, understand this. Don't get offended. Understand this. Yeah, all you men and wives that got those questions, just keep looking straight. But, look at that. But anyway, ace of hearts, yeah. When you picked, you thought you knew what you was picking. Didn't you? You told yourself, she's the one, he's the one. But you never realized that the choice you made was really sight unseen. Are you hearing me? You went by what it looked like. You went by what it felt like. But you didn't really know what you was getting. Am I right? You just went by what it seemed. And over time, you started asking yourself, is that the one? And for some of you wives, you said, who is this joker? Are you with me? If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. In the kingdom of God, marriage is not dependent upon your opinions. You already got the cards now. You can't turn them in. You look at the cards, you say, I don't like this hand. But the game you're in does not allow for you turning the cards in. Are you hearing me? Now, of course, you can break the rules. Ooh, this is good already. But the rule of the game is you got to play the hand that's dealt you. Particularly because you're the one that chose the hand. And you get my point this morning? Now, you can go through life frustrated wanting to turn the cards in. But your frustration is never the frustration of the dealer. God being the dealer. What he does is he gives you opportunity to make choices. And in having made the choice, you got to now work with the hand that you have. Are you hearing me? You can spend your life wanting another hand, but that's not in the rules. Are you getting anything out of this? The best and most long-lasting marriages are the ones where they purpose to not break the rules. Either we're going to succeed or we're going to die trying. Are you getting this? You see the value of this? You see? Now, if I go through life frustrated with my hands, I can't even play them right. Because I'm frustrated with the hand I got. Oh, I just saw this. Let me see if I can find this real quick. Praise the Lord. Oh, there it is. Now, brothers, all right, let me do this fair. Amen. Praise God. Anthony said, thank you, sir. I got a queen of hearts, but I don't know it. Because I'm looking for her to be what I want her to be. Oh, this is. Says, he that has found a wife has found a good thing and obtained favor from the Lord. But if I'm frustrated with the hand, it doesn't matter that she's a queen of hearts. I'll never really see her value. Equally true, God gives the woman a king of diamonds. I know your frustration is, why didn't he give me a king of hearts?
I got this man, but he don't know how to love me. Are you getting this? But you got a king of diamonds. With a diamond, it's got to be cut, it's got to be cultivated, but it still has value even in its present form. So now the queen of hearts and the king of diamonds ought to recognize the uniqueness of their value to one another. Do you remember me saying last week or week before last, I'm losing track, but I said you ought to know how to minister to the uniqueness of your mate? I'm too busy complaining about the cards. I don't like the hand. But the reality is, it was my choice. I could have said, instead of saying I do, well, if you got that far, it's kind of embarrassing to say I don't. By that time, you saw out there in the flesh, you dare not go back and say I don't. You got everybody there and whatnot, and everything in you might be raging, saying I don't, I don't, I don't. You say, I do. But the moment you said I do, you accepted the hand that you chose. What I want you to know this morning is that God was witness to that hand. He was witness to that choice. And because he was witness to that choice, you need no other approval than the one who witnessed your choice. The one who witnessed your choice made a promise to you that because you chose him and she chose you, he would be there supporting your choice. Know where we fail at? We start thinking God's not there when we're frustrated and in despair. We start thinking about how I think, how I feel, and what I want, and what it means to me, and we forget God was there as witness. Are you hearing me? Sister Whitaker and I was talking early this morning about something I taught last week, I think it was, about this thing we call love. I want you to write this down in your notes. Love does not make a good marriage. Yeah. You might as well admit it. You lied when you said, I love you. Oh, baby, I love you. Especially us brothers. Because we were trying to love. We liked the idea of love. And if I love you meant we was going to have you, we was going to say, I love you. Some of you brothers, I ain't looking at anybody, you done said it to 6 or 7 women over a period of time. I promise I ain't going to look. Let me just. Are you hearing me? And then some of you sisters, you met your first love, and that's all it wrote. If you saw them today, you know that first love? You look at him, what was I thinking about? Am I right about it? So some of you brothers, you know, you just knew you was going to live and die by that girl. And now you feel her teeth falling out. I mean, she just, like, how did I hook up with her? Am I right about it? Then I'm going to tell you something. I'm describing something that could be irritating you right now, because know what you're realizing for the first time in your life? The vulnerability of your personal choices. We function out of the realm of our feelings, out of the realm of our emotions, and then we get mad for the choices we make. Y'all with me so far?
I don't know how much more time I have because we're off to a late start, but it's a good start this morning. Praise God. All right. So we function out of the realm of our emotions, and then, like Sister Whitaker and I was talking about, you really got married in selfishness. Genuine love is actually supposed to be that you care for the needs of the other. But when you got married, in all likelihood, you was really evaluating the other person as to how you felt they would impact you. So from the door, it wasn't necessarily based on genuine love. Write this down. Love grows. That's all right. That's all right. Hang around long enough. You hear me? Now, all right, with Brother King, he just said, I disagree with you on some of that. Amen. Let me remind all of you, I talk in generalities. It's impossible to say something that identifies everybody the same way. But in the generalities, I got news for you. Most of you in this room are covered. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Some of you may have had the good fortune of meeting someone and saying, I love you, and you love them, and you made your decisions based on that love, and you had that undying love for one another, and the commitment has lasted. But the vast majority of us, we were selfish, and we wanted what we wanted. I made the decision based on whether he would make me happy or not. Isn't that the way some people are raised? You know, don't marry that man unless he can make you happy. Does that sound about right? So your decision to marry, and this is for women, your decision to marry wasn't necessarily based on you making yourself adaptable and suitable to him, but your decision to marry was based on whether he would make you happy or not. It's quiet in here. And with you men, you made the decision not based on whether you would make her happy, but whether she would make you happy. And so the idea, the concept was, let me marry the person that's going to make me. Is that about right? So was love really the factor that love should have been if love is based on the good that I can do for the other person? Are you getting anything out of this? So now we find out that the person I married, I thought they was a queen of hearts or a king of diamonds, and they looking like they the Joker. What is the first thing I say? God, why you allow me to? you look in your life, you look at situations, you look at circumstances. Who are you first to blame? You're first to blame. Oh, look, some people are saying, well, you blame yourself. That's rare. The only time you begin to blame yourself is after you ran out of excuses blaming everyone else. I'm not telling you what I think, I'm telling you what I know. You'll be quicker to blame your mate than you'll blame yourself for your choice. Is this good for you this morning? So what happens? Turn to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. God has a view of marriage. In the kingdom of God, marriage is independent of your feelings and or your opinions. In the kingdom of God. Is independent
of your feelings and your opinions. Now, I'm not saying you don't have feelings. I'm not saying you don't have opinions. I'm saying in the kingdom of God, God has his view of what a perfect marriage is like and how that marriage is supposed to be. And so when you're born again, we're supposed to let go of our view and adopt his. Are you with me? If you base your marriage on your opinions and your opinions aren't grounded in the word, your marriage is doomed for failure, even though you may be married forever. Proverbs 24. Boy, these cards make good play sets. Amen. Hallelujah. Proverbs 24. This is the key. Boy, I love this. This is the key to how your marriage is really supposed to be established. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3 says, through wisdom is an house builded. So it's not based on love, not based on sex. Love can be fickle. And if you've been married for a while, it ain't like it was when you first got married. So I'm not saying in quality, I'm saying in quantity. Sometimes down the brother got to put on the bag. Sometimes his sister's saying, when you going to come to bed? How you doing? It's on the computer all night long. What's wrong with you? We adults in here, right? I can talk this way. It's the kingdom church. Are you hearing me? Yeah, y'all be amazed the number of men and women, see, I let the brothers off the hook, the number of men and women that come to me and they ask about marriage and relationships and how do I handle this and how do I handle that? When I first started teaching on marriage, I knew that there would be some people that say, oh boy, you know, he must be talking about his marriage. No. The reality is this teaching is the result of the needs that are present in this community. Are you hearing me? I've had men come to me frustrated because you know, women who are spiritual can oftentimes get so spiritual. And they say, honey, I want to have a little time with you. I'm with Jesus right now. You with me? They say, amen to that. You know, you're looking for your wife, and she said, I'm in my prayer closet. And say, but wait a minute, honey. It's about that time, you know. I got needs, too. Yeah, well, you just got to wait. I'm with Jesus. Love isn't the answer. Sex isn't the answer. And you don't want to running around praying in tongues all day. And when she's looking for you, let's flip the script. When she's looking for you, you so mad because she wasn't there when you wanted her to be there. Now you decide I ain't going to be there. What starts happening is there's a tit for tat that takes place in the relationship, and sometimes the tit for tat is so subtle you can't even tell what's actually going on, but it's tit for tat. Call you on the cell phone, I ain't gonna answer it. Now, I know that's nobody here. I'm teaching you this so you can teach somebody else. But I ain't going to answer it. She got on my nerves this morning. Let her. I'll get back to her when I get back to her. Don't be looking at me. I take every one of your phone calls except the ones I don't. Anyway. you hear me? Now, again, I speak in generalities. So everything doesn't necessarily apply directly to you. But don't look behind you. It applies to them. You have Proverbs 24? Let's talk about this kingdom marriage. It says in verse 3, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yet man of knowledge increaseth strength. Verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Last week I heard myself say, when was the last time you bought a book on marriage to study it, to read it, to teach yourself how to communicate, to teach yourself how to have empathy, to teach yourself how to have understanding? Most of us have gotten married carrying so much baggage. Are you hearing me? We got married carrying the baggage of our parents. If your dad did things a certain way, if you're a man and you knew your dad did certain things or did things a certain way, you in all likelihood would do those things the same way your dad did. If your dad was all mean around the house, you don't know why you mean, but your dad was. If, in other words, the culture of your surroundings trained you to be the way you are. Oh, yeah. And so many of us have been functioning out of a programming that we didn't even know how we got programmed. Now, take a man and remove the dad out of the house where there is no dad. There's already a frustration there in that man, and he may be responding out of his frustration because he never had an example. So he learns what a man is like from Scoot down the street. Scoot say, yeah, man, you don't listen, man, I'm going to tell you something. You don't let none of them honeys take advantage of you. And you don't even know where you got that idea from, but you grew up with this idea, I ain't letting none of them women take no advantage of me. Am I right? Where did you get it from? Your dad was absent. He wasn't there. So you learned manhood from the men around you. Am I right? Well, same way with you women. The Lord told me to tell you this morning. Three days ago, he told me to tell you this. Stop saying all men are this. Hey, those men. And you men, stop saying those women are. The truth of the matter is we all goofed up. All that energy that you've taken to look at the other person and identify what they're not, you just as jacked up. So God's idea of marriage is, he says, through wisdom. Isn't house building. And by understanding, it is established. One of the things the Lord said to me was, a long time ago, I used to have this verse on my refrigerator. Over the course of time, the verse
fell, maybe got torn, maybe got damaged or whatever, no longer on the refrigerator. Equally so, God will give you a truth and you'll forget the value of the truth that he gave you. And then you start wondering, why aren't things working? You never took what he gave you and made it to become your permanent reality. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Did you notice I asked him to pick four cards? On those cards, if you all had four cards, you can write this in your notes. The first card that you should pick is wisdom. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Wisdom is the ability to apply knowledge rightly. The second card, right, number two, the second card is knowledge. I made the statement earlier. We get married, we never buy a book. We don't know where to find marriage in this book, but let alone we never buy a book on marriage. Can I ask you, rhetorically, when's the last time you bought a book on marriage? Talking about husbands and wives. If I don't understand the Bible, and I don't buy a book on marriage, or I don't know where to find marriage in the Bible, how can I lay claim to knowing what it takes to make one work? Man, I should have brought a set of dice. Because really what we've been doing is, let me see what happens. And every time, y'all know anything about dice? Just a little bit. If you roll snake eyes, you just lost. You ever feel that way in your marriage? Don't answer. Hey, I like what Bradley just keeps it. Keep looking straight ahead. He says, through wisdom is in house building, and by understanding it is what? That word established means made firm, fit, unmovable, set, grounded. Are you hearing me? Every marriage in this fellowship should be fixed, unmovable, set, grounded, and established. And I'll tell you why, because that's the way the kingdom is. He says that he's given you an unshakable kingdom. So if I've got the kingdom in me and the kingdom is unshakable, then everything about me is supposed to be unshakable no matter what I face. To include my marriage. Your marriage oftentimes is shaky. Not because situations make it shaky, but because you're shaky. Yeah, don't you kind of go up and down? Yeah, sometimes up, sometimes down, sometimes barely level to the ground. So sometimes you feel like it's on a roller coaster. That thing is going like this. And you're like, or merry-go-round. And you're crying, help, I want to get off. Got me going around in circles. He says, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong,
yea, a man of knowledge increases strength. I'm not reading about marriage. I'm not reading about husbands and wives. I'm not reading about what the kingdom family looks like. I'm not reading what my culture is about. So all I have to rely on are the lies that told me that manhood was, man, you never let, don't let no woman trump you off. Or if he loves me, he would do everything to make me happy. Because that's what you were taught. In the kingdom of God, and we'll look at it next week because I'm already out of time, but in the kingdom of God, the role of the man and the role of the woman is defined. He didn't leave it up to you. Oh, boy, I got to say that again. He didn't leave it up to you. He always, everything God, I can show you better than I can tell you, and here's a good place to end. Turn to Genesis chapter 2. The Lord showed me this just this morning while I was eating my oatmeal. I said, Lord, why are you showing me this? And no sooner as I got the question out, the answer came to the question. Watch this. Y'all glad you came this morning? Genesis chapter 2. Now, I turned the air off because it was cold in here this morning. Y'all cold or y'all warm? Y'all nice? All right. But y'all not lukewarm, right? Amen. Praise God. Now, look at this. Genesis chapter 2. Pastor Cherry, the Lord showed me this morning. I'm eating and I'm looking. Verse 5. And every plant of the field before it was in the earth. Underline that. Every plant of the field before it was in the earth. Wait a minute. How could it be a plant and how could it be a field if there was no earth? Watch this. And every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Verse 6. But there went up a mist from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. This is what the Lord said to me. Before he created the earth, he created the plants and the herbs. In having created the earth, there was no man to till it. So he created the first irrigation system. Mist came up from the ground and watered what he created. This is what he said to me. Everything he creates it to sustain itself. I'm eating oatmeal and toast and drinking coffee. And the Lord says, everything I've created to sustain itself before I even brought it into existence. That when I brought it into existence, it came into my irrigation system that from the earth, it watered itself. It took care of itself. Then he says, let me make man. Give him the responsibility now to till what I created. What I want you to understand this morning is that what God requires of you, he's already put inside of you what's necessary to sustain you. He already established it. Your ability to be sustained has already been established before he brought you into the earth. So when it comes to your marriage, the ability for your marriage to be sustained is already established. He established it before he brought you into it. Because everything he creates, he already has a system built within that enables what he created to be sustained. Train yourself to get out of your feelings. Please do that. I want to say please do it for me, but I don't live with you. Do it for each other. Train yourself to get out of your feelings. Because your feelings is that arena, is that area where the enemy robs you of what God has established in you to sustain you. Are you getting this? When you start focusing on the other person and you focus on their shortcomings, you're missing your shortcomings, and so now they irritate you, but the reality of the matter is you're really mad at your choice. And the more mad you get at your choice, the more you want to turn the card in. But the way the game is played, you made the choice and you can't turn the cards in. So what I got to do, now he's looking at his cards. So what do I have to do now? I have to learn how to work with the cards that I have. Because he's already put within you, thank you for that, he's already put within you what's necessary to sustain you. Because there's nothing he created that he didn't already put within the establishment or the ability to sustain.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Last week I said that when you murmur and complain, you're glorifying the devil. If you're praising, you're glorifying God. So if you spend all this time murmuring and complaining about the cards you chose, you're giving the devil glory. So what happens if I praise? Whatever and whoever you praise produces for you. Have you praised your wife lately? Woo-hoo! Hey, have you praised your husband lately? Woo-hoo, woo-hoo, woo-hoo! I'm going to tell you what we do. We kind of coexist in a mutual defense against one another. Write it down. We kind of coexist in a mutual defense against one another. Is this good, Vanessa? Can I get a... Yeah. You'll spend most of your life defending your position. Well, what did I just say? A mutual defense against one another. So I'm defending me, you defending you, and so we got the only mutuality we have is we're in defense of each one another's opposite position. You see? And that's the whole point of today's lesson. Marriage in the kingdom is independent of feelings and opinions. Managing the kingdom is based on how God views it and us bringing ourselves into alignment with what he ordered. When I'm in alignment with what he ordered, then he sustains what he created. When I'm out of order, I've got frustration, but it was the card I picked. He didn't bring the frustration. I did by not knowing how to handle the card I got. So for every man that has been mad at your wife, you picked her. And what I found out was this, and maybe we'll talk about this next week. I personally want to get better at this. The Word of God says that the husband is supposed to wash the wife with the water of the Word so that he can present her to himself. Some of you brothers, you got to get enough in you to be able to wash them with. And I got news for you. They want you to wash them. For them, they're sexy for you to be able to read the Word to them. They ain't going to tell you. They spend so much time running. Nowadays, they act as though they know everything that you know and more than you know. But the problem is some of them do. Get something to wash her with. Oh, come on now. Oh. Don't be starting no fights up in here. It's easier to wash the car. Now, hear me out. I think we ought to chime me about those out. It's easier to wash the car because the car don't talk back. All right. Y'all getting this? Was this a blessing to you today? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
What's some God want to say to most women that I know, when they marry a man, they are in love with that man.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm glad you brought that out.
They really, really are. But most men, when they marry,
now, Vanessa brought out some true, very true point. And I won't say most, because I never took a poll. I'll say many. Many women, not all, when they marry, they are in love. Yeah. That's why you brothers, you want to mess up a sister? Because she's in love. Not all, but many. My contention is that many men oftentimes think they are, but they don't judge the source of their motivations necessarily.
And most women report about
by our mom. I agree.
And most men,
what I question is, Vanessa said, most women are taught, again, I'll say many, because there are a lot of women that don't know anything about love. All they know is what they want. And if someone says, I love you, they say, oh. And then they go, everything they had precious to them leaves in the face of someone that said, I love you, because they have taught love. You see? And now some people, yeah, oh, that's good. I made the statement earlier, love doesn't make a good marriage. And Pastor Cherry added to the note, to really know love, you got to know God. Because God is love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see? So yeah, we love on a human standard, And oftentimes that human standard is based in this. That human standard for some isn't even agape love. Here's the love of God. The love of God is unconditional love. So if I'm loving you based on conditions, I couldn't be loving you with the love of God because I've got too many issues standing between me and you that when you fail in those issues, I stop loving you, even if it's only for moments. That time I'm slamming the kitchen doors, kitchen cabinets, and slamming the refrigerator. And you say, honey, get in the car. And you get in the car, and you slam the door. And I say, what you slam my door for? I ain't slam the door. Hallelujah. or when it comes to money, and you're withholding money because you can. The Holy Spirit just brought that one up in my spirit. That there are men that withhold money from women because they can, just like a woman will withhold sex from a man because she can. Yeah, women withhold money too, praise God. But I mean it from the standpoint, if my wife asked me for $50, I'm responsible for her. So if she asked me for $50 and I got it, I just might as well start digging. Why? Because God entrusted her to me. He entrusted her care to me. She carries my name. I don't carry hers. Are you hearing me? Now, this is where I can end that. God stood witness to your decision and said, I agree. So now, you make with your hand the best. But you need the word to make it the best. And if you got to go buy a book on marriage, if you got to go buy a book on communication, if you got to go buy a book on intimacy, do whatever you got to do. But start feeding your knowledge, because in knowledge there is wisdom. And through wisdom is a house established.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, Hiker.
That's a good, but I really never had the process of the father's love.
Amen.
A stepfather. And that was tainted because of whatever. But what the Lord has shown me is in his word, what love
is
the way that God wants us to love one another. And that love works, his love. Works in marriage, works in relationships,
mm-hmm.
friendship, works at the
mm-hmm.
job. So when I compare myself and examine myself, this is the way that God loves. Then he expects me to love this way anyhow. To whomever.
Yeah.
So that's my guideline. And that's what God gave me.
Mm-hmm.
He never had me teach, be taught by any person.
By natural person.
He told me in the word of God, this is love. And I'm going to obey that.
Hallelujah.
So even though emotionally at times step away.
Yeah,
anger, But you know what? The love that he has poured within me and the knowledge of his love and the wisdom of how to apply it
mm-hmm.
of overcoming my emotions, that's the key.
Ah.
Yes.
And that's the lesson this morning.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Glory, 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 glory. Our love is selfish, not selfless. You see? I watched Darren cook yesterday, and Darren was cutting up these greens and this kind of stuff, and, you know, he's took his shoe off, put his foot in it, and there, you know, y'all understand what I'm saying. You know, but he's putting in the time of the talent that he has in the area of cooking that most surely must bless his wife because of the ability that he has. But if she doesn't understand, now he gonna pay me for this afterwards. If she doesn't understand that she got a king of diamonds. But now watch this. If he don't understand, he's got a queen of hearts. Then what God has given them in the richness of one another, they'll miss over little things that upset us in the areas of our personality that ain't even controlled by him. I hope y'all caught that. Hallelujah. God bless you. Hallelujah. Good to see you, man. What is your name again? Carlton. Carlton is the reason why I met Georgette King. Because you was there because of what she was doing. Yeah, at Burger King, I met Carlton, who introduced me to Georgette King, who was doing an event that was leaving from Burger King, and he and I began to talk, and it was a wrap. And
I said, what you talking?
Yeah.
I recognized the approach. I saw him looking at me, and then I listened to him speaking Kingdom language, and I was like, you know what, you need to talk
about this
sister.
Amen. Amen. So things happen all kinds of ways to come into being. Praise God. I want to share with you, I don't have all the details yet, but Sister Dawn's dad passed. And so we'll be talking about the details and whatnot, and we'll make that information known to you via email, telephone, text, Facebook, that kind of stuff, so that you can respond accordingly to what she's going through now. And so I was so blessed to see you come walking through the doors. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. You ready to prepare your offerings and leave? Amen. I hate for us to have to eat and run.